kings would go out to battle, they would fight, and if they would win, then they would add length to the train of the king. And so when the king was walking around with his train on, just by looking at his train, you could see the victories that he had won in battle. And I love this scripture gives a word picture saying his train, talking about the Lord, fills the temple. I'm just thinking about the sanctuary right now as being the temple. And I can imagine fabric layered upon fabric circling around the room, going all the way up to the ceiling. God winning victory after victory after victory after victory. I've talked to a few different people this week who are facing sickness, people who are facing family crisis, people who may be having financial difficulties. And there are some people who are just doing really well, some people who are, feeling victorious. But either way, no matter where you're at this morning, I want you to be encouraged that God's train fills the temple. He is a victorious God, victory after victory after victory. And I just want this time of worship to be a declaration over you, over your family, that God is victorious. Take whatever sickness it is that you're facing and add that on to his victory. Take whatever circumstance it is that you are facing and add that on to his train. His train fills the temple. Amen. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't we just take this moment to just welcome the Lord. To welcome the Lord into this place before we get started this morning. Thank you, Jesus, so much. We're so grateful, Lord God, for this opportunity that we have, Lord God, to worship you. And we just pray, God, that your spirit would move in a mighty way, that your anointing would be here, God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that you are a victorious warrior, God, that you are in control, God. And we worship you and we praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
See you. stronger than you, and no power is greater than you.
You believe that?
And no wisdom is wiser than you. You're greater, no sickness is stronger than you, no power is greater than you, no wisdom is wiser than you, you're greater,
no sickness.
Break our walls down.
Every situation has to bow.
Spirit, break out.
Thank you, Jesus.
Heaven, come down.
Hallelujah, Spirit.
Spirit, break out.
That our prayer in our lives over our situations, whether it's good, whether it's not so good. Lord, we pray that you'd break out into every home, God. We pray that you'd break out into every circumstance, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you that you are strong. We thank you that you are powerful, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you are victorious. And we pray that you'd break out. You tear down every wall, God. You tear down every barrier, Jesus. We pray and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Spirit, break out.
Spirit, break out. gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Let's take these next few moments to declare victory. God, we declare victory, Jesus. We declare your power, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. God, we praise your name, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. We serve a God who is victorious. Praise God. I just want to worship him a little longer. Feel the presence of the Lord here in a great way. Praise God. Not because I'm here, but because he's here. Because he's everywhere. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I love the presence of the Lord. I love the Word of God. I love the family of God. We are so blessed to be part of His family. I want to make a few announcements, give you some information. Of course, as always, we want to remind you of your giving options. You can mail in your gifts to 5301 Commercial Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin. You can go to cgcmadison.org on our website there and click on the Give link. You can text to give at 608-719-3883. And when you do that, you have choices. Choose tithes or offering. And now we are receiving our mother's memorial offering, which is the ladies' ministry takes up this offering every year. It's a national offering that the ladies take up in order to support various areas of ministry, almost every area of ministry that the United Pentecostal Church is involved in, especially supporting missionary families and households so that they have what they need while they're on the field, in addition to covering Bible students in every nation in which we have Bible school. Mother's Memorial supports and pays for tuition for Bible school students so that the gospel can be effectively carried to every nation, every tongue, every tribe. So keep that in mind, Mother's Memorial. Amen. Several announcements. Service update. Hopefully you got the email, and you got some information. Phase one, CGC opening. We thought we were going to go full bore, or at least have a little more momentum than what we are allowed at the moment, but we have been included as a religious organization, as an essential business. Even though we always felt we were essential all along, Dane County recognizes how essential we are and allows us to have 150 people inside the building for service. We actually 25% of the capacity, and we chose to use this auditorium and decide the capacity and then take 25% of that. So we'll be following safe practices, the social distancing, but we'll be able to have up to 150 people in service here in the auditorium on Wednesday night. It will be on a first-come, first-served basis. If you choose to come, we ask that you use the front door only. We realize there are some people who need to use the access at the side of the building. But otherwise, those who are not required to use that access, please come through the front door, because we need to keep a count of how many people are here, because we want to comply as much as possible with the guidelines. If you're not receiving email updates, you should have gotten this email, got this information through in your email. If you're not getting that, contact the email of the church office. That's office@cgcmadison.org, office@cgcmadison.org, and make sure you get put on that list. This Thursday night, movie night, 8 o'clock in the parking lot, Finding Nemo. And the way the rain is coming outside, I think we might find Nemo in a parking lot. But that's a great time. It's a great time of fellowship. We weren't able to make it on Friday night. It was rescheduled from Thursday night, but this is a great opportunity for people to talk from car to car, and for the kids to get out and move around a little bit. Also on Friday, we're going to have an all-church event. Everyone's invited. We're calling it Pop In. And it's a drive-through fellowship in the parking lot. So you drive in, greet people. There will be someone there to greet you, say hello to you. You can wave at your friends, talk to them from a proper social distance. But we gives everyone a chance to interact, at least in person. And we will be passing out popcorn and Tootsie Pops. Get it? Pop in. Popcorn and Tootsie Pops for those who are interested. So this is from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock this Friday. So you can bring your kids, drive through, get your Tootsie Pop and popcorns, wave at everybody, and drive home and put them in bed if that's how you want to do it. But whatever, we're giving everybody an opportunity to interact. The day's coming when we may not feel the need to do this kind of thing, but it certainly is a blessing to have this. It's different. I got to say, it's different. Being around God's people is different than being around a bunch of people at work, different than being around people at Menards or Farm and Fleet or Fleet Farm, whatever your preference is. Just something about being with God's people. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to bring the word of the Lord this morning. I believe that God has given me something for all of us. I would like to ask you, per Pastor Jerry Simmons, to stand if you wish. And we're going to read from the Word of God. We're going to read Acts 3, verses 18 and 19. And I want to speak on times of refreshing. Times of refreshing, Acts 3, 18 and 19. Now, this is in preparing for this, I was thinking about some of the traditions that we practice in church, at least in our church, and standing for the Word of God is one of them, and standing at certain times and sitting at certain times. But it's funny, if you're at home, you're probably not following a lot of those normal Pentecostal traditions, because that couch is mighty comfortable. My wife and I sit on the bed in the guest bedroom and watch the service and worship while we're seated. So whatever works for you. Acts 3:18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. You know, this is, I didn't think of it, but this is basically the gospel and the response to the gospel, that Jesus Christ came, he lived, he suffered, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. There's the gospel. And then the response to the gospel follows immediately. Repent and be converted, so that your sins may be blotted out. That's talking about water baptism in the name of Jesus. The Bible says our sins are remitted at that time. when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. And the presence of the Lord is what I want to talk about, really, times of refreshing. We talk about the times, the presence of the Lord. I find myself saying that a lot, especially in this setting, in this environment, because it's so unusual. There aren't people to look at, or as many people to look at. There's not that immediate feedback that you get from a group of people when you're speaking to them. And there's sometimes a greater sense of reliance on the Spirit of God as it leads and moves and works. But if you're unfamiliar with that, if you don't know the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you're not sensitive to God's presence, if you don't know what that means, being in God's presence, that may not help you a whole lot. But in this particular instance, Peter refers to the presence of the Lord in times of refreshing. He's preaching to a Jewish audience. This is in Solomon's porch, an area outside of the temple. And Peter is there because it's the hour of prayer. And while he was on his way to pray with John, the apostle, they saw a lame man. The Bible uses that term, not politically correct, but nonetheless a biblical term. And he spoke to the lame man and said, the man asked for alms, asked for a gift, asked for financial support, for help. And Peter, something got a hold of Peter, and he looked at the man. He said, look at me. He said, I don't have any money, any gold or silver to give you, but such as I have, what I do have is the presence of the Lord. And in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he reached out and took him by the hand. And the Bible says that immediately his legs were healed. He was strengthened. So the people there in Solomon's porch they knew all about it because the man came into the area of prayer where normally he wouldn't have been there. And he burst in there, leaping and shouting and making a scene. Sounds like a Pentecostal service. But everybody recognized that something out of the ordinary had happened. And they're gathered around, and he gave Peter and John the credit. He said, these men did it. And Peter said, it wasn't me. It was Jesus Christ. It was the living God. They'd seen this man, those who were faithful to the temple. The Bible says it was the hour of prayer, and it implies that this was the pattern of Peter and John, that they went up to the temple every day at this hour. And so there were many people. It's like us. There are certain people who come to church all the time. And, well, we know that's not everyone. There are certain people who have been at every online service since we've been quarantined. And God bless you for that. But these people recognized this man because they had seen him, especially those that came in by the gate called Beautiful. Day after day, week after week, year after year, there he was, same guy, unable to walk, unable to stand, but now he's running around and leaping and shouting in Solomon's porch. Obviously got there on his own power. The scripture seems to indicate that Peter and John had a pattern, that they were there on a regular basis. Doesn't spell it out that way, but it seems to indicate that. But this day, this one day, this day was different. On this day, something happened, something out of the normal. We're used to talking about things not being normal these days. But the funny thing is that we kind of adopted some temporary normals. They say after, depending on what source you're looking at, after 21 days or after 30 days, your patterns are established if you do it over and over again. But this was a different day a new day. Peter let them know that something happened here, and it wasn't because of him, it was because of Jesus Christ. Jesus did this miracle, he said. I want you to know that today doesn't have to be like every other day. Whatever normal you've adopted, I want you to know that today Jesus can change your normal. He can do something that you never expected. You may be looking for something else, but Jesus can touch you right where you are. You may have felt like you are cut off from the presence of God because you haven't been in the house of God, but I want you to know that Jesus Christ is with you. You do not have to be in a building. I don't have to touch you with my hand. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. What is your need? We fall so easily into a pattern. It seems strange now to see a video where there's a group of people and they're all next to each other and they're touching. It's like, ugh, look what, ugh. Hugging and shaking hands in public. Many of us are anxious, probably most of us anxious to get back to our normal lives. But there's also a level of anxiety about what that will be. Unfortunately, some of us won't be returning to the same place of employment. Some of us, our lives have been changed by illness or sickness or loss. It won't be the same anymore. It will be a new normal. We hear that phrase all the time. But most of us like routines in our life. Knowing where we can go, knowing when we can go there, oftentimes knowing who's going to be there when we get there, know what kind of behavior is generally acceptable. Some of us don't always get all those cues, but most of us like to recognize those social cues. For many that went to the temple, this man was just part of the scenery. He was always there. He was part of the normal. There he is again. I imagine that some people that went every day to the temple, they knew how much they were going to put in his offering basket, if you will. They had a certain sum that every day they put it in there, you know, like a dollar in the offering. Just part of the scenery. Other people probably, they had a path that they took when they got closer to the place where this man was. They kind of veered off to the other side because they didn't feel the need to share anything, and they didn't want to deal with the confrontation. They didn't want to deal with the guilt, maybe. Part of the scenery, part of the routine, part of the pattern, part of normal. But Peter and John, they changed that. Jesus changed that. That's really what we're talking about, is Jesus wants to change your normal. Peter said just a few words, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have. From that moment, nothing was ever the same. Not just for that man, but for everybody who knew him. Everybody that went to the temple, everybody that was there that morning. The next morning they came by and they got to the gate called Beautiful, and they probably looked around and wondered, what is it going to happen again today? Nothing's the same. Once you meet Jesus, once you come in contact with the living God, once he has touched you, once he has changed your normal, your life will never be the same. Unfortunately, now many of us are worried about the new normal being less than what it was before. We're going to have to settle for some things and not expect certain things. That's what some of us are accepting, that train of thought. In some places, we're hearing that message. Well, it's going to be different. But I'm telling you, when you meet Jesus, When he meets you in your normal and he changes it, it's for the better. Every day. One of my favorite bumper stickers is, a bad day fishing is better than the best day at work. But a bad day with Jesus is better than any day I ever had without him. Praise God. Silver and gold have I none. Everybody was used to a certain pattern, but not today. Not today. Jesus will do that in your life. They went into Solomon's porch, and this man's running around and shouting and worshiping and giving Peter and John high fives. And everybody's looking around and saying, this is not normal. You go into the temple to get what you need from God. You come into this place and pray, and then God meets your need. You wait till everybody's together and the musicians have finished their song, and then we get what we need from God. That's normal. There are sacrifices. There are priests. There are rituals. There are certain things you have to do before you. That's normal. Suddenly God is meeting people and doing miracles outside of the temple. He's using fishermen, not priests. And he's performing miracles in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I think that's what a lot of us Pentecostals are experiencing. And hopefully the non-Pentecostals that are tuning in. And I'm not trying to be exclusive. Everybody ought to be a Pentecostal. Not because it's a religion, but because it's an experience with a living God. It's the New Testament normal, really. We're experiencing a new normal. We're not coming to church 2 times, 3 times a week. We're not fellowshipping, which is such a big part of what we do here. But I hope we're experiencing God outside of the building. I hope we're finding power in the name of Jesus in our home and with our families. We value fellowship, and rightly so. It's commanded in the scripture that we should have fellowship. It's part of being a Christian. Movie nights in a parking lot are a blessing. Drive-by visits and celebrations. Our McFarland services, the police and fire department, they've had a little parade that has come past our house several times now since this time. And I think it's really neat. I'm really proud of the fact that our village does this. It's a blessing. And they're not saying praise the Lord or anything like that, but still it shows that they're aware of the needs of the people in the village, and they're trying to do what they can to show that they care. Well, how much more is that part of the church's function? How much more should we be the ones sharing with one another? That doesn't come natural to some of us. I raised my hand when I said that. But that some of us are just more social than others, but it's a scriptural principle, this fellowship thing. And we do a lot of it, and it's hard for us. But Jesus is not limited to this building. Jesus is not limited to 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Jesus is not limited to the number of people that are gathered together. Praise God. We quote that where two or three are gathered together in his name. There he is in the midst of that. And I believe that. But that was before the day of Pentecost. That was the day before the Holy Spirit was poured out. And when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the Bible says that it was available to all flesh. Jesus made the promise in John. He said, I have been with you, but I shall be in you. I can have Jesus with me by myself. Now, that's not always going to be the best way to do it. I need to have fellowship. But Jesus is with me. Jesus is with you if his spirit lives inside of you. Praise God. Just think, last year on Mother's Day, if you had driven by your mother's house and dropped the plant on her porch and driven away, think how she would have accepted that. A new normal. Peter and John said, hey, we didn't do this. Jesus did this. He's with us wherever we go. We didn't have to be in the temple because Jesus was with us. That's the point that we're making. There's power in his name because he's in us. You remember when the sons of Sceva tried to cast out a devil in the book of Acts? They said, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, come out of him. And the possessed man beat up seven of them. And they couldn't figure out what went wrong there. Well, the fact was, they didn't have Jesus living inside of them. So they didn't have the authority of that name. You don't have to be alone today. You don't have to be alone ever. This new normal, I'm not talking about the new normal after the quarantine. I'm talking about the new normal after Jesus Christ. Wherever you are today, I can't give you silver or gold. I can't shake your hand or hug you. I'm a hugger. I have siblings that when we get together, when they see me, they hold their arm out like this to shake my hand to make sure I don't get in for a hug. Because they're not huggers. So when I see someone now, I make all these funny motions like I don't know what to do with my arms and my body because I can't get to you. Can't shake your hand. This morning I can't see your face except for the few that are here. But in the name of Jesus Christ, I can pray for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit right now. I can pray for your healing and Jesus can do something for you. I can pray that God's presence will move upon you in a way that you've never known before. This is the normal that Jesus is trying to get us to. This is the routine we need. Jesus with us all the time. Where I go, he goes. Where you go, Jesus goes. Let's pray. Let's pray right now. Let's all of us pray. Pray where you are. Pray for the person next to you. Pray for yourself. Pray for the church. Pray for the president. Pray for the governor. Let's pray right now because Jesus is with us and he wants to do something in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for those that are present here. I know there's needs in every heart. I know I have needs. You know what we have needs in our home. We are blessed, oh God, and I'm grateful for your blessing. But I know, God, that there are hundreds, maybe even thousands of people who right now need a word from God, right now need a touch from God, right now need encouragement, need strength, need healing. In Jesus' name, God, hear our prayer. Hear us, oh God, and manifest your glory. Show your presence, oh God, in our hearts and minds and spirits. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. This message started with me trying to figure out how to preach about the presence of God. I talked about it. Every time I got up in this pulpit, I talk about it when I'm preaching. Pentecostals talk about it all the time. I say it. I feel the presence of God right now. But there's probably a lot of people that say, what? I don't feel nothing. Some people don't even know what that means, the presence of the Lord. In their mind, they're thinking the presence of the Lord somewhere far away in heavens, angels, harps, clouds, presence of the Lord. That can be a mysterious phrase to some. Ooh, feel that? Person listening says, no, I don't feel anything. For many of the Jews at that day, it was what happened inside the temple. Inside Solomon's porch, which wasn't technically in the temple, but these routines. Peter said, this happened outside. He said, repent. That means change what you're doing. Change direction. Then he said, repent and be converted. Now, that word convert has a meaning to church people. But really what Peter was saying, the word means to return back to or to revert to. What do you think he was saying? What he was saying was repent and forget about all this tradition, but get back to the truth of who God is. Get back to your relationship with God. Be converted. Look for a presence of the living God in your life. What you've been doing isn't the answer, Peter said. Get back to what matters. Maybe in your life you're recognizing at this hour that the things that you've been doing aren't getting it done. That there's an emptiness there when you're forced to sit at home and not fill your mind and your days with activities that normally keep your attention, but now you're looking at who you are and the people around you, and you're recognizing that something is missing. Repent and be converted. Get back to what really matters. So that times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. One dictionary says it's a recovery of breath, refreshing, or even revival. Ha, revival. Cooling or refreshing. One Bible note says this, it's relief. Anybody need some relief this morning? Relief, it goes on to say, relief from stressful or difficult times. I didn't know that's where this was going to end up when I started this. Repent, therefore. That means confess that I'm a sinner, I've done things wrong, and I want you, Jesus, to help me do things right, and I'll follow you. That's what repent means. Change direction and be converted. Revert to the things that are important. There's relief from stressful times. There's revival. There's refreshing. An emphasis here in the root word is a cooling. You think the lame man at the gate called Beautiful felt some relief? A lifetime of limitation and begging, dependency. Suddenly, he can do all the things that he's been dreaming of all his life. Do you need a time of refreshing? Do you need a time of relief? We seek it in a physical sense. I've had this conversation with a number of men in our church. There, to me, you want to feel refreshing? Get on a motorcycle and get up to the top gear on a wide open road and just let it fly. I never got it before. I didn't understand, you know, four-wheelers and snowmobilers and what's the big deal, but boy, there's a sense of relief there. I remember one time in Colombia, when I was there, I was visiting as an exchange student. We went to a ranch, a finca, and they put us all on horses, and we got out onto the ranch, and it was just all this long flat area. I'm no horseman. I'm no equestrian, but I know what a horse can do, and I let that horse go. I mean, I just let it fly, and they had to catch up to me and slow me down because it was so cool to be just. The problem was there was like a 12-year-old kid there that didn't know anything about horses, and his horse decided it was going to race my horse. And I didn't hear it, but he was just screaming and crying and hollering, and I'm just flying across the plain. And I was getting refreshing, but he didn't like that normal. Hey, it may be strange for you. It may be weird for you. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard a Pentecostal message or an apostolic message, a Holy Ghost message. But you will find great relief if you will give your heart to Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that if you know Jesus, if you have your Bible, if you pray regularly, and you've never spoken in tongues, that you don't know Jesus. What I'm saying is that there's another level of blessing. There's a relief there. There's a revival in the presence of God. There's a new normal. Not less, but more. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've got three more things I want to cover, but I guess that's not going to happen. I say it all the time, I feel the presence of God here. One thing I want to point out before I close. This phrase where it says times of refreshing from the presence of our Lord, it's always been a question for me. Just what that means, times of refreshing. Well, I've talked about that, revival, the breath, relief. But from the presence of the Lord, that word there, that phrase there, and I'll close with this thought. Now, I come into a church, I go into my prayer time. I usually sit at my desk and pray while I'm sitting there and reading my Bible, read a little bit, pray, talk to God about me, pray, look at my list of people that I'm praying for, pray for those things, read a little more, pray. That's how I do it. And I feel the presence of God there, but since we've been spending more time at home, and over the last month or so, I've been reading Psalm 119, and I've told several people about this, so some of you aren't hearing it for the first time. But I've been reading it through section by section, 22 sections, each one represented by a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which I don't know anything about Hebrew except that it's Old Testament language. But I'm telling you, something different is going on here with God. This phrase, the presence of the Lord, that's used here is different than a lot of other places in the Scripture. It's talking about a face-to-face encounter. It's more than just being in the presence of your brothers and sisters. It's more than being just feeling God's presence, which if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's something we should feel every day, is the presence of God in our lives. But this phrase here, the presence of the Lord, is talking about an intimate, a face-to-face thing. And every example in the Scripture where it's used, it has that implication, that tone to it. That there's some, I've been reading through and I know if you've been filled with God's Holy Spirit, you know what I'm talking about. There are those times when your thoughts and your intentions and everything just suddenly just opens up to the presence of God, because His Spirit enters into your very being and just fills you, so that you can do nothing but praise Him, nothing but worship Him, nothing but surrender to His touch. Times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. That's what Jesus wants to give you this morning. That's what Jesus wants us all to have. This is the new normal. We need to get back to what really matters. That's God's presence in our life. That's knowing who Jesus is. That's being face to face with our Creator. He loves you. He loves me. not because of who we are or what we've done, but because of who He is. I hope you're feeling the presence of the Lord. And I don't use that phrase lightly. I believe that Jesus wants to heal someone this morning under the sound of my voice. I believe that. It's not just a thing to say. I believe that's true. I believe that Jesus wants to fill someone here this in the sound of my voice, somewhere out there, wherever you are, you're wondering about this Holy Ghost. If you will ask Him to forgive you your sins and commit your heart to Him, He can fill you up right now. He can meet with you. And times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord will flow over you, and you will begin to speak in a language you never knew. You have to praise Him. You have to worship Him. You have to surrender your heart. You have to let Him in. Praise God. I guess I don't know what else to say this morning except that I know that Jesus is real. I know that when we have a prayer answered, it's not because I'm such a good prayer or because I'm a good Pentecostal or I'm a good preacher. It's because my God is alive and He's real and He wants to do good for His children. He wants to draw you into His household. He wants to make you a child of the King. Wants to take your sins away. He wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit. You can have all of that. It's His desire for you. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord. Let's pray and seek Him. Reach out to Him. Just call on the name of Jesus. Ask Him to give you direction. Ask Him to heal you if you're sick. If you have a physical need, ask Him to give you direction to find the job you need. Your new normal should include Jesus in everything you do, and your life will be better forever. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
He's still moving, and He's still proving just how great He is, how great He is. He's still too hard for
I didn't grow up in this thing. I grew up in a church. As a child, I really sought to find meaning there. As a teenager, I guess I kind of gave up. It wasn't until I came into Calvary Gospel Church and I felt, and it sounds weird if you're not used to it or if you haven't experienced it, I felt something I never felt before. It wasn't just emotion. It wasn't just the strangeness of the environment. There was something that reached into my soul, into my spirit. That it was like that I was thirsty and I didn't even know it. And suddenly that thirst was being quenched, and it was so fulfilling and so enriching that I thought, this is the realest thing. I don't know if these are the exact thoughts, but this is how I remember it. This is how it impresses my mind. This is the realest thing I have ever felt in my life. God wants to do that for every person on this planet. But if you're hearing me this morning, I know for certain that He's trying to do it for you. God is good all the time. He's always good. And He's always here. Praise God. Voces Unidas en Jesucristo, our bilingual church, will have service at 1 o'clock. African International Ministries at 5 o'clock will be streaming live. They'll also have service here, I think. I think they can meet with the new guidelines. So that's a great opportunity for those congregations. Amen. I'm sure there will be a lot of celebration in those services. So if you want a blessing and you're not going to be here, I would recommend you take the time to stream those live, because the presence of the Lord is going to flow. Amen. You might even learn some Spanish or French while you're at it. Praise God. That's this afternoon. Remember, Wednesday night, 150 people, first come, first serve. The plan is to be broadcasting the service, the audio, FM, into the parking lot. And I've already talked to a couple people that have said, I don't need to be inside. Just being there, having church around other people, I'll be happy to be in a parking lot. So that's up to you. Praise God. I'm glad I'm part of the family of God. I'm glad I know the presence of God. And I want to invite you, take advantage of this great opportunity to know God in a time when the rest of the world is struggling to find an identity and a purpose. We already have one here in Jesus Christ. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus' name.